You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. You've probably heard many stories about cowboys in the American West. There have been numerous Hollywood movies made about the life and adventures of the American cowboy. The same is true of horse racing. The film Secretariat is one notable title. And boxing. That's a sport that Hollywood also loves. Who can forget the Rocky series and its memorable theme song? My guest is a storyteller. She isn't from Hollywood. She's from a little town called Lakeview, Oregon, that was incorporated in 1889. Today, it boasts a population of around 2,400 residents. It's known as Cowboy Country, and my guest has a few stories to tell about a particular cowboy, a winning horse jockey, and a boxer, all in one person. He's also a Native American who lived through an era of American history that's still shrouded in mystery to this day. My guest is Susie Cahill. She's the author of a biography titled Jimmy Washoe, Improbable Icon. Welcome to the exchange, Susie.
Thank you.
So let's start with, who was Jimmy Washoe?
Okay, Jimmy Washoe was a half Paiute, half Chinese guy who was born above Lakeview. There was a rocky ledge above our town where there was a Paiute village, and he was born there in 1904. His mom was a Paiute Indian, and his father was a Chinese bootlegger.
A Chinese bootlegger?
Mm-hmm.
What's a bootlegger?
Yeah, he had a whiskey still.
Gotcha. I mean, you call him an icon.
Well, he's really well known throughout this area, especially for his cowboy buckarooing skills, and then skills as a jockey, and then as a boxer, and known for his personality and his kindness to everybody that knew him.
Okay, so let's back up. You use the term buckaroo. I want to get into that. Before we do, you said he's known in this area. Tell me about the region where you are.
Okay, well, the region where this story takes place is in Lakeview is 14 miles across the border from California, and it encompasses Lakeview and Adel, which is about 25 miles east of Lakeview, where the huge MC Ranch was, and then down to Fort Bidwell, which is about 45 minutes from here in California.
Okay, so we're talking about a rural region.
Right, definitely.
Okay, what inspired you to do this research and write about Jimmy?
So the story's been in my head for over 20 years. I wrote a story about Jimmy for a magazine called The Mirror that was out of Klamath Falls about 20 years ago. And when it was a pretty big story as far as articles go, but as I wrote it, I thought, this isn't an article, it's a book. And there are a lot of connections to Jimmy that I have, especially with my grandmother who lived in Summer Lake and taught school at, there's an old schoolhouse on the highway 31 called, it was the Harris School. At 15, my grandma taught school there, and then she married a guy who had a horse race operation. His name was Ross Small, and he would disappear for weeks at a time. Grandma didn't know that he was on benders, but he was, and left her alone with two very small girls, my aunts. And Jimmy was their jockey, and he stepped in and helped my grandma and the two little girls through that really hard time period. And they remained friends throughout their lives, and they both lived to be in their 90s.
Okay, so Jimmy was adjacent to your family and a beloved figure.
And then also, he worked for my husband's family at the Cahill Ranch in Adel. And he worked for my husband's grandfather's ranch in Fort Bidwell for about 20 years. So there's just a lot of connections there.
Okay. Now, we're going to get into the life of Jimmy Washoe in just a moment. Tell me what a buckaroo is.
Well, you know, most people kind of know what cowboys are, but buckaroos, generally, they work for the really huge ranches. For example, the MC ranch was vast amounts of acres. And like, instead of just herding a few cows, they're herding 17,000. So it's a really big job. And there's usually not that many of them compared to the amount of work that they're doing. And it's pretty rough, because like when they would, especially back then, they would move cows, they'd be out on the desert, for example, for days at a time and have to camp out there. And they would drive cows, and then they would have to do things like brand cows and all that kind of stuff just out there in the desert.
Okay, so there's a lot of care and nurturing of the cows, as well as ensuring they get from point A to point B. Jimmy's life was quite an adventure. Let's start with, what time period did he live in, and where did he grow up?
He was born in 1904 and died in about 2000. I'm sorry. he was born up above the town of Lakeview.
So he's born in 1904. Yeah. So he at the early part of the 20th century, and he lived all the way through it. Now, he lived through some harrowing times.
He did.
So that era was not quite the best if you were Native American or if you were Chinese, and he was both. Tell me about his life. Yeah, let's start when he was born and start as a child. Tell me about his childhood.
When he was born in Lakeview, he lived happily with the tribe until he was about 8 years old. And his mother was having issues with alcohol. And one night she was holding him in her arms as she fell asleep, and she didn't wake up the next morning. So his mom was gone. And the tribe took over, especially a chief named Charlie Washoe stepped in and acted as Jimmy's father. And the tribe hid Jimmy from his Chinese father because there were issues there. And also the father wanted to take Jimmy away to China. And they hid him for several years until the Indian treaties forced Charlie to enroll Jimmy in the Indian boarding school in Fort Bidwell. So when he was enrolled there, the abuse is pretty difficult to imagine. And I mean, I'll be really honest. I really struggled with writing the story, because when I was in that part of it, it just was so sad. It was hard to even overcome it. And I just can't imagine what it was like living it. So what Jimmy, when he was in the school, on top of all the other abuses that happened there, Jimmy was, as a teen, forced to haul the bodies of children and other people who died around there to a ditch and for burial. So there he was as a young kid hauling dead bodies. And Jimmy's personality being what it was, when he was telling me about this horrible thing that's just difficult to comprehend, he just laughed, and he said, "That was my job, rolling stiffs." And it's just hard to imagine, but that's the way he dealt with life in general. Was he always found a way to get through it and be happy regardless.
So Jimmy's teenage job was as a designated undertaker.
Right.
And these are his classmates. These are young children that he's...
Right.
My guest is Susie Cahill. She's the author of a biography titled Jimmy Washoe, Improbable Icon. So how did Jimmy get out of this Indian boarding school?
He escaped the boarding school. He ran from Fort Bidwell. After he got out of the school, he ran down. There's a road that goes between Fort Bidwell and goes all the way through to Adel, which is, like I said, east of Lakeview. If it makes it easier to realize where it is, it's on the Winnemucca to the Sea Highway. So he ran over 20 miles down that road. And as a very young child, before he was sent to the boarding school, he had gone to the big MC ranch with Charlie Washoe, who stepped in as his father figure. And he remembered the ranch, and his aspiration was to be there because he loved it. When he was about 9 years old, they hired him there to help tie these nets on the top of the huge haystacks. And he had a little bedroll, and he would sleep in the haystack at night until they woke him up in the morning and said it was time to go to work. So he had great memories of the ranch. And so when he came staggering into the ranch, he begged for a job, and they put him to work digging post holes, which is... that's a pretty rough job, but really valued by ranches. And he did that for a while until he was always watching the buckaroos head out and go to the desert and stuff like that. So he wanted to be a buckaroo, and they finally allowed him to be what they call a Rango boy. And their job is to bring the horses into camp for the buckaroos to ride. They bring the horses in every morning. That's how I started that. And then he ended up being a buckaroo.
Okay. And now I understand that Jimmy ran into some altercations and took some beatings.
Yeah. At the Indian school. And I think really illustrates a part of human nature that's not real good. He was picked on by the Indian boys because he was half Chinese. In fact, when he first got there, he was very, very tiny as a kid, and his father enrolled him on the girls' side because he was afraid that they might, the other boys could hurt him. But then at a certain point, they said, well, he had to be on the boys' side, and they just beat him up over and over again. And he found his own footing and started fighting back and got some great skills as a boxer doing that.
And so he learned on the fly.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got about a minute left, but tell me quickly about Fort Bidwell and Captain Warner.
Oh, Fort Bidwell is, if you get a chance to go there, be sure and don't miss it. There's so much history in that town that it's kind of hard to imagine all that's gone on there, but Fort Bidwell is extraordinary. Captain Warner, he and his party of about 9 guys that were surveyors for the Army were ambushed at what's known as 12 Mile Creek by the Paiutes. And Captain Warner and several of his men were killed, but Captain Warner, his horse fell with him about 200 feet. And I don't know that they knew for sure that he was dead. The men that were left ended up just leaving him. And the exact location has not been found, but we're pretty sure that it's at 12 Mile Creek.
Okay, we'll come back here in a moment to resume this story. We need to take a short break. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Susie Cahill. She's the author of a biography about an extraordinary Native American hero. It's titled Jimmy Washoe, Improbable Icon. So before the break, we were talking about Fort Bidwell. Why was Fort Bidwell even in existence?
Okay, so it started during the Indian Wars, and our government wanted to control the country out here. And so they ended up establishing an army fort there in 1869.
Okay, now I understand that in 1850, the first governor of California had declared a war of extermination against all the natives. So did that factor into any of this?
Yeah, we tried to exterminate the Indians, but the Paiutes, I think above all other tribes, were very hard to, impossible actually to exterminate, because their fighting skills were just vastly superior, and they knew how to hide from our soldiers and would follow them for days at a time, and would just attack and then just disappear. And they knew every trail, every possible place to hide, and they were almost impossible to fight. And that was kind of the point at which our government decided that it might be easier for us to just assimilate the Indians into the white culture, that it would be cheaper, I think. And so that's when the boarding school idea started, and that's why it went that direction.
So tell me about Chief Ochoco.
Chief Ochoco very loved Indian chief in the Paiutes. And Jimmy was sitting in the boarding school one day and looked out the window and saw Chief Ochoco, who was very old at the time, leaning on a cane, walking around the outside of the school, which I guess he did regularly. And there was a young Indian girl walking down that walkway. And there was a horrible, cruel teacher from the school who was after her and hitting her with a switch. And she was crying. And Chief Ochoco grabbed a hold of that switch and beat the teacher with it, and pretty badly. And so then later on that day, the chief was at his home and the marshal showed up with the paddy wagon and was there to arrest him. And so they arrested him and they put him in a Reno prison, and he died 2 years later.
And Jimmy saw this?
Yes.
So now,
yeah, he was crushed by the death of Chief Ochoco.
When Jimmy, as he grew up, as he became a buckaroo, as he became a boxer, he also learned to ride horses, and he became a pretty significant race jockey.
Mm-hmm. Jockey, yeah.
So tell me about that.
Well, his jockeying career, that's really interesting to me, because, for example, if they had a race going on, say, in Prineville or something, what they would do, you have to remember that there would not be horse trailers at the time. And so he and Ross Small, for example, would just herd the horses all the way there for a race, and, you know, instead of hauling them in a horse trailer. So that's pretty interesting.
Well, he was quite prolific, right? He got a name for himself. He won a lot of races.
He did. And he was on the circuit that went all the way from the LA area up to Portland Meadows and did very well because he was such, for one thing, he was such a small guy. He was less than 5 feet tall and weighed 102.
Well, I understand he was also the ladies' man.
Yeah. Very much so. He just, women really loved Jimmy. And I think so much of it was that women love a guy who makes them laugh. And Jimmy was a lot of fun. And he was also a really kind person. He would just believed in being nice to everybody. And I think women just love that about him.
Well, he was quite handsome as well.
And even when he was older, his eyes just twinkled. His eyes were just amazing to look at.
Well, Jimmy was also smart. There's a story you tell about him saving a young man's feet from frostbite. Tell me about that.
Oh yeah. So what happened was they were herding cows and the weather suddenly turned very, very cold. And there was a young buckaroo who had he had been trying to break ice earlier in the day for the cows, and he accidentally his feet slipped into the water. And so his boots were completely filled with ice and his feet were freezing. And Jimmy saw him fall off of his horse, or kind of, just toss off of his horse and realize that his feet were freezing. And he sent some other Indian buckaroos to butcher a cow and to bring back the gall sac, which is the membrane that holds the gallbladder. And what he did was he made an incision in that sac and put the buckaroo's feet into it to because it was steaming and warm, and warmed the buckaroo's feet up that way. And then they got him all dried off and everything. And then one of the buckaroos hauled him back to the bunkhouse. Just threw him over his horse and hauled him back there, and they saved the kid's feet.
Well, Jimmy attributed that to Paiute culture and knowledge, right?
Yes, very much so.
My guest is Susie Cahill. She's the author of a biography titled Jimmy Washoe, Improbable Icon. So, Jimmy, when he was racing and he was winning on the circuit, he had an altercation with a competitor who cheated him and caused him to fall into an accident. He nearly died. Tell me about that.
Right. There was at the Cedarville fair, there was a horse race there, and there was a cowboy who didn't, he was actually kind of, they were kind of ending up number one and two a lot of the time. And the cowboy didn't like that. And so when they started the horse race and about halfway around the track, Jimmy was in the lead. And the other cowboy ran his horse's head in between Jimmy's horse's hind legs. And it made Jimmy's horse flipped end over end and it broke Jimmy's neck. And he managed to crawl off the track before the other horses could trample him. And he ended up in the Cedarville Hospital with a 40-pound weight attached to his neck for traction. And he managed to get through that just fine.
So, Jimmy had quite a life as a cowboy, as a jockey, as a boxer. Tell me about his boxing career.
His boxing career isn't as clear as other things, but I do know that as a in the region, kind of the Northern California region, he was pretty well known there. And then he beat a guy named they called him Battling Dozier at a in a fight at Pyramid Lake. But yeah, he did do very well.
Well, he also had a daughter. Tell me about her.
She's a really great person, and she her memories of Jimmy are it's kind of interesting because he was so much older when he became a father. He was 72 years old. And so her memories of Jimmy are pretty much like what most kids' memories would be, like her memories of being in 4-H and showing her lamb and going to horse shows, that kind of thing. But she always got to ride in the parade with Jimmy.
Well, you married into a ranching family. What was your
I did.
life? What was your life like before and after?
Well, I've never been a cowgirl. My life, I am more of a I'm a piano player and I have a business stuff, things like that. I did try a little bit to go out, and do some cowboy stuff with them, but I'm not much at it.
Okay, well, you tell the story of a woman. Her name is, I believe, Neva Lowell.
Oh, Neva Lowell.
Neva Lowell. Tell me about her.
Yes. Okay. She fascinates me. She cowboyed for the Fee Ranch, which was my husband's grandfather, and she was very good at being a cowboy, good at being a buckaroo. She was also a trick rider. And she was a jockey, and she and Jimmy used to race each other all the time, and one would beat the other about it was about 50-50. And she was just the toughest, roughest woman. But the other side of her was that she was an amazing artist that did like big murals on walls and oil paintings and sculpture, and just amazingly talented woman. And they had this beautiful home in Fort Bidwell that is still there. And it was just for the time, especially a really stylish and wealthy home. She was married to a very wealthy Lowell from Massachusetts. So, anyway, what in kind of a hobby with her was she would be down at a place they called the Joint in Fort Bidwell, which was kind of a roaring, bar, whiskey joint place. And she's down there playing cards. And then in the evening, she would host dinners and have like young girls from the community come, and she would dress in lovely formal clothing and teach them table manners and all that kind of thing. So,
Okay.
and then she always had a parrot named Polly on her shoulder.
Okay, well, this is quite the character. I think we're going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but that is the kind of story that will get people to read your book. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Susie, for introducing us to Jimmy and a cast of characters.
All right. Thank you so much.
My guest was Susie Cahill. She's the author of a biography titled Jimmy Washoe, Improbable Icon.